grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Every year during the Lenten season, we meditate on the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ as recorded in the four Gospels. In his hymn for the festivals of the four Gospel writers, Adam of St. Victor, that prolific 12th century poet, says of the four evangelists, in one harmonious witness, the chosen four combine, while each his own commission fulfills in every line. In one harmonious witness, the chosen four combine, while each his own commission fulfills in every line. People sometimes ask why there are four Gospels rather than just one. When all is said and done, there really is no way of knowing with certainty why it pleased God to do this. But this much is certainly true. The story of our Savior's life can be compared to a multifaceted jewel. It is only one jewel, but it sparkles with multifaceted radiance. And so it is that in the four Gospels, we catch a glimpse of our Savior's life and death and resurrection in all its multifaceted radiance. During Lent last year, we reflected on the Passion as narrated by St. Luke. And this year, we meditate on the Passion as narrated by St. Mark. Now, St. Mark was not himself an eyewitness of the Savior's life and suffering. But from the very earliest times, there's been a consensus that what we have in St. Mark's Gospel is the teaching of Peter, who was an eyewitness. It was already early in the second century that Papias, who was the bishop of Hierapolis in what is today southeast Turkey, said that Mark was Peter's interpreter. Papias noted that Mark had not himself heard the Lord, nor had he been one of Jesus' followers, but that later on, Mark followed Peter, who had seen and heard the Lord. And then late in the second century, St. Irenaeus, who had known St. Polycarp, who had known the Apostle John, had this to say: after the death of Peter and Paul, Mark, the disciple and interpreter of Peter, himself handed down to us in writing the things preached by Peter. And so as we listen to the words of St. Mark, we are in fact hearing the teaching of Peter. And in the portion of the Passion we heard this evening, we heard of Peter's reaction when our Lord warned his disciples that all of them would fall away from him. In fulfillment of the prophet's word, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Peter replied, even though they all fall away, I will not. Jesus replies, I say to you that this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. Peter vehemently replies, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And St. Mark tells us that what Peter said, all the disciples said the same thing. When our Savior and his disciples arrive in the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord tells them to remain there and pray. But then he takes just the three, Peter and James and John, with him, just as he had done when he was transfigured on the Holy Mount, and just as he had done when he raised the daughter of Jairus from the dead, Peter and James and John. And he says to them, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And then Jesus goes a little farther, falls to the ground and prays, Abba, Father, all things are possible with you. Remove this cup from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. In this prayer of Jesus, we see the struggle in our Lord, truly God, truly man, struggling, quaking with foreboding at what lies before him. Because he is the innocent, eternal Son of God, Jesus sees with total clarity the whole foul flood of evil, all the power of lies and pride, all the wiles and cruelty of evil that tries to mask itself as good, yet constantly tries to destroy, debase, and crush all the goodness that God has made. The abyss of the sin of the whole world opens up before Jesus' sinless soul. You and I cannot imagine what that meant for Jesus. No wonder he prays, Abba, Father, all things are possible with you. Remove this cup, yet not as I will, but as you will. Three times Jesus comes back to Peter and James and John, and he finds them asleep. Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It was these words of Jesus addressed to Peter that my godmother Anna inscribed in the hymnal she gave me on the day of my confirmation. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. I doubt that you'll be surprised to hear me say that as I look back over all the years, I find myself wishing that I had taken these words to heart. But I, alas, have been like Peter. Peter, of course, learned his lesson. And toward the end of his first letter to the Christians of Asia Minor, we hear Peter saying, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. Watch and pray. You may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Three times Jesus prays. Three times he returns to the disciples and finds them sleeping. And the third time he tells them that he is about to be betrayed and given into the hands of sinners. Judas betrays him with a kiss, and Jesus says to the mob, "Have you come out against me as a robber with swords and clubs to capture me? Have you come out against me as a robber?" When we look at the original language Mark uses here, we realize that the word translated into English as robber is really something much worse. The Greek word used there means an insurrectionist, someone with blood on his hands. Jesus had no blood on his hands, but was about to pour out his blood for the sin of the whole world. "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Jesus is that good shepherd who gives his life for all us lost and lonely sheep, all the sons and daughters of Adam's lost and lonely race, for you and for me. Someone has said that the four Gospels are not only the story of the matchless love of our Lord and Savior, they are also the story of his disciples' failure, their utter failure. The Gospel writers make no effort to conceal or minimize that unhappy truth. And that is one of the many evidences of the utter truthfulness of their witness. A witness that comforts us in our own failure to love and trust and obey the Lord who loved and who loves us with a love beyond all knowing. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.